Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Yud Zayin. We left off yesterday on the top of daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We were three lines from the top of the word Gufa, and we were in the middle of discussing, or we started to refer to, the conversation that happened between Chagai and the Kohanim at the time of the building of the second base of Mikdash. So the Gemara is going to analyze the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether the Kohanim who had come back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second base of Mikdash had answered Chagai's Bechina questions correctly. Chagai gave them a whole test about Dinim of Taharos. So did they or did they not answer his questions correctly? We're going to analyze that machlokas first. Then we're going to have two shitos as to which liquids Yossi ben Yoezer, remember from yesterday's daf, we had edus of Yossi ben Yoezer that he said certain liquids cannot become tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. Which liquids was he talking about? Was he talking about only the liquids of the Beis Mitbechaya, the area where they shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Beis Midbechaya as well? The Mizbeach liquids also, the wine, the oil, the things that would be used on the Mizbeach, and try to understand the conversation between Chagai and the Kohanim according to each version. We're going to plug that into the conversation between Chagai and the Kohanim, and we're going to bring brises to support each of the shitos. Then Rav Papa is going to suggest that the halacha that liquids of the Beis HaMikdash do not become tameh is a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, and the Gemara is going to have two kashas on that idea, that it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Is going to come to the conclusion that it's not a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, and then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss whether Rabbi Yehuda holds that liquids can be metame kelim on a daraisa level or only on a drabana level, and we're going to have to turn back to the brisa on the very top of Tezayin Amal from yesterday to really analyze that properly. So again, if yesterday's topic was about Tumas Mashkin, today's topic is also Tumas Mashkin. It's primarily about the Tuma of liquids, but particularly, specifically, the Tuma of liquids in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the topic of today's daf. So again, we left off yesterday that Chagai had asked the Kohanim that had come back at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash a series of questions about Taharos. He asked them whether something becomes Tame Hayikdash, and the Kohanim said lo. They had answered no. So Rav said Ishtabish Kahani. Rav said that the Kohanim made a mistake. So now the Gemara says Gufa. Third line from the top. Rav Amar Ishtabish Kahani. Yishmol Amar lo Ishtabish Kahani. Rav assumes, going back to this conversation, that the Kohanim made a mistake. Shmuel assumes they were not wrong. They did not make a mistake. So Rav says they were wrong in saying that the food does not become Tameh, and we're going to see why he thinks they were wrong about that. Shmuel thinks they were correct in saying that whatever their question was, that the food does not become Tameh. So Rav Amr Shtabish Kahani Ravi Bekodesh Bar Minayu Vamrulei Tahar. The Shaila was about Ravi Bekodesh. He set up a case for them where he described something Kodesh becoming a Revi, and the halacha is that Kodesh can become a Revi, that it does become Tameh. And yet their answer was that lo, it doesn't become Tameh. So they were wrong. They got the question wrong. Revi b'Kodesh does become Tameh. So what is Shmuel? How could Shmuel say they got it right? Because he understood the question differently. Ushmuel amar lo ishtabish kahani chamishi b'Kodesh ba'u minayhu v'amr le'tahar. Shmuel said that they did not make a mistake, because had the question been about a Revi b'Kodesh, then Enochinami, it would have been a mistake to say Tar. But that's not what the question was about. The question was, can there be a Chamishi B'Kodesh? And there's no such thing as a Chamishi L'Tumma. So that's why they did not make a mistake. When they said, no, it's not going to be Tameh, they were correct. There is no such thing as a Chamishi B'Kodesh. So again, Rav thinks the Kohanim made a mistake. Shmuel thinks they were on target. They were correct when they said that the item does not become Tameh. And the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is not a Machlokas in Dinim of Tumah and Tahara. Rav and Shmuel both know that a Revi B'Kodesh exists, a Chamishi B'Kodesh does not exist. Their machlokas is in how to translate the pasuk, in what Chagai was asking from these Kohanim, what exactly his question was. So Bishlam Rav Hainu Dichsiv Arba'a. I understand very well, according to Rav's understanding of the question, that he was asking about a Revi B'Kodesh, so it fits very nicely with the pasukim, because the pasuk describes Lechem V'Nazin V'Yayin V'Shemen. It describes four levels down from the Av, so it makes sense that we're talking about a Revi. So that fits very nicely. El Lishmuel Chamishi Minale. But according to Shmuel, where does he get the fifth level? What did he plug into the pasuk to get a fifth level down to understand the Shaila to be about a Chamishi? So Miksiv Vinaga Knafo. So the Gemara answers that Shmuel got it from the way the Gemara expressed the item touching the Tuma item touching the Beged. When does it say Vinaga Knafo? Vinaga Biknafo Ksiv. Vinaga Biknafo implies implies that the bread didn't touch the sheretz, not the bag, that the bread didn't touch the sheretz directly, but it touched something that the sheretz had touched. So there's another item that has to be that's hinted to should be added into the list in addition to the four things that are mentioned explicitly. B'mash naga biknafo. Biknafo implies that which touched biknafo, but not that which touched directly. Right? If you look at Rashi, miksiv naga knafo el halechem. D'mashma sheretz naga b'lechem. Does it say v'naga knafo that it touched the lechem? The sheretz touched the lechem directly. No, the lechem avirishon masha naga b'knafo naga lelechem davi lelechem sheni. No, it's that which touched b'knafo touched the lechem. There was something in between the sheretz and the lechem. So the sheretz is the av. The lechem is then what? So the way Rav understood, the lechem is the rishon, and then you follow along in the pasuk. Lechem is the rishon, nazid sheni, yayin shlishi, shemen revi. But according to Shmuel, the lechem was a sheni. There was something in between the sheretz and the lechem. So the shaila was about the shemen, which would then have been a chamishi, and the kohanim correctly said, no, there's no such thing as a chamishi, and therefore it is completely tahar. So that's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So Tashma, the Gemara is going to now try to bring a raya against Rav, and then a raya against Shmuel, one for each. So Tashma, let's bring a raya for Shmuel against Rav. Vayomer Chagai, im yiga tamei nefesh b'chol eila hayitma, vayanu akanim vayomru yitma. That further on in the conversation, Chagai asked whether a tamei mace can generate revi l'tuma on kachim, and the Kohanim correctly answered that they can, that yes, yitma, there can be, if the chain doesn't start with the sheretz is navatuma, and the chain of tuma can start with the sheretz and go down to a revi. But let's say so Chagai first asked about a sheretz. His second question was not about a sheretz. Let's say the chain begins with a tamei mace. Now a mace is an aviavos. A tamei mace, someone who touched a mace, is an avatuma. So it's just like a sheretz. Let's say the chain begins with an avatuma that's a tamei mace, someone who touched a dead body. So hayitma, will there be a reveal of tuma? So the Kohanim said, yeah, yitma, there will be a reveal of tuma. Why not? So bishlam l'shmuel midahach lo shtabish asum nami lo shtabish. According to Shmuel, it's very good. The Kohanim passed the Bechinu with flying colors. When it came to the first shaila about the sheretz, it was a shaila about a chamishi l'tuma, so they said it does not become tamei. When it came to the second shaila about the chain that starts with the tamei mace, the shaila was about revi l'tuma, and they said it does become tamei. So it was great. They answered everything correctly. But according to Rav, he essentially asked the same question twice. He asked about a revi v'kodesh. Just in one example, he gave an example of a the chain of tuma starting with a sheretz, and then the other example he gave of it starting with a tamei mace. But it's really the same shaila. He was just asking about a revi. And yet, the Kohanim the first time said it's tahar, and the second time they said it's tamei. So they got it wrong the first time and right the second time. So did they or did they not know the concept of revi b'kodesh, according to Rav? If they knew the concept of revi b'kodesh, how did they get it wrong the first time? If they knew that it was only revi and no further, if they didn't know the concept of revi b'kodesh, how did they get it right the second time? So the shaila was the same shaila both times. How did you get it right once and get it wrong the other time? So the Gemara has two approaches to answer for Rav. Number one, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, b'kiyin hein b'tumas meis ve'ein b'kiyin hein b'tumas sheretz. It could be that they were b'kiyin, they knew full well about tumas meis, about tumas meis, they were not such b'kiyin, they were not such experts in tumas sheretz. Why would they be b'ki in tumas meis more so than tumas sheretz? So the Gorariye suggests that the Kohanim were more b'ki b'tumas meis. Tumas meis was more matzui than tumas sheretz. It was more common than tumas sheretz. It's not that, are mesim more common than shratzim? Don't know, but people's contact with mesim is probably a little more common than their contact with shratzim. People have to deal with mesim all the time. Hopefully we don't have to deal with shratzim all that much. So the contact with tumas meis was something that had to be dealt with on a much more consistent basis than tumas sheretz. So that's why they developed the bekiyas in tumas meis more than tumas sheretz. That's how the Gorari suggests. The tzlach, the Behuda in the tzlach al hashas, has a totally different beer. He says that they were, why is it that there were greater b'kiyim b'tumas meis? He says it based on the Gemara Maseches Sota and Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara learns from a kal v'chomer from a Chusar Kippurim Mechusim Kippurim is someone who's gone through his Tara process, but he has not yet brought his Karban, meaning a person can go through the full amount of time that they need in order to get out of certain types of Tumah. They could go Tvila B'mikvah, wait for Harav Shemesh, but then there's a Karban at the end of the process very often. We have this by Yoledes, for instance. There's a Karban at the end of, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, right? That there's a Karban at the end of the process. So Mechusim Kippurim is allowed to have Truma, but not allowed to have Kodesh. So Tvil Yom, if they went to the mikvah but didn't even have Harav Shemesh yet, then they're not even allowed to have Truma. Once they already had Harav Shemesh, they went to the mikvah and then nightfall came, they just haven't brought their Karban the next day, they're allowed to have Truma, but they're not allowed to have Kodesh. So the Gemara says, if that's true of Mechusim Kippurim, that he's allowed to have Truma, but he's not allowed to have Kodesh, a Shlishi, which is possible but Truma, should for sure have the ability to make a Revi B'Kodesh. If a Shlishi, if Truma becomes a Shlishi, it's bad, it's no good, so for sure it should have the ability to make Kodesh problematic. So the Gemara puts, so the problem is, well, wait a second, Mechusim Kippurim comes from an Avatuma, where you chayiv kareis for Bias Migdash, whereas a Shlishi that comes from a Sheretz doesn't come from an Avatuma. Shlishi's line could have started with the Sheretz. It comes from an Avatuma, but not from the kind of Avatuma that you chayiv kareis on Bias Migdash, because this you have to remember back to Erevin. At the end of Maseches Erevin, Shmuel's shita was that if a person is machnis a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, he's potter. You machnis something that's tameh from a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you chayiv, oddly, but if you machnis a sheretz itself into the Beis HaMikdash, Shmuel's shita was, you're potter. And furthermore, according to Rashi's understanding of our Gemara over here, the sheretz didn't touch the food at all. The sheretz touched depends which version of the question we understand, but the bottom line is a shlishi that's ba misheretz is not going to fit into the kal v'chomer from Mechusim Kippurim. Meaning, how do we learn the concept of revi b'kodesh? We learn it from Mechusim Kippurim, from the kal v'chomer from Mechusim Kippurim. That kal v'chomer, says the Tzlach, isn't going to work when you're talking with a sheretz. The whole kal v'chomer only works when you're dealing with things that you're chayiv kareis for being machnis into the Beis HaMikdash. So if a tamei nefesh touches all these things, where the av is the person who had touched a mace, and Yechayiv Kareis al Bias Mikdash for someone who's tamei to a mace, so the shlishi from that, you understand very well, will lead to the Revi and is a very valid Kal V'Chomer from Mechusim Kippurim. But if it starts with the Sheretz, the Kal V'Chomer could be blown up. One could have thought that maybe when the chain starts with Tumas Sheretz, it doesn't create a Revi. So why is it that there were greater experts in Tumas Mace than they were in Tumas Sheretz? So the Gor Aryeh seems to suggest doesn't really defend them very much. They just didn't know because it didn't come up so much. The Tzlach comes up with a whole umdus that they were greater experts. Doesn't mean they were greater. It means that they had this whole analysis. They knew the sugyas all over Shas really well, and so well that they were able to come up with a way that Tumas Mace should be more severe than Tumas Sheretz. But it happens to be wrong. It happens to be that a Revi Bekodesh is a Revi Bekodesh, whether it originates with the Mace or whether it originates with the Sheretz. So again, that was all answer number one. According to Rav, that they were asked about a Revi Bakodesh on both occasions, how could they have gotten it wrong the first time and right the second time? Ravina Amar, so Ravina gives a second explanation. Hasam Revi Hachashlishi. Ravina says, no, the second question was not about Revi Bakodesh. The second question was about a Shlishi. They were familiar with the Tumah level of Shlishi, so that they got right. The first question was about a Revi. That they got wrong because they were unfamiliar with the Tumah level of Revi'i. Tashma, says Gemara, let's bring a raya now against Shmuel. Again, Shmuel thought they got everything right. Shmuel thought that the first question was about a chamishi. They said it doesn't exist, correctly, because it doesn't exist. Second question was about a revi'i. They said that does exist, and they were correct about that as well. So, vayan chage veyomer, keina amaze v'cheina goya ze lefanaynu umashem. So, bishlam l'rav, hainu d'chsiv tameh. El Shmuel amai tameh. The pasuk has chage telling us that kol masi, it's really the v'chule that the question is from. After it says those words num Hashem, the rest of the pasuk in the margin of the Gemara in the new Gemaras, they tell you the rest of the pasuk. V'chein kol masi yedeim v'ashay yakrivu sham tamehu. Everything these Kohanim are going to bring is Tameh. Chagai gives them the Bechina, and they got a 50 on the Bechina. They have two questions, they got one right, one wrong. tameh. Everything they do is going to be tameh. So according to Rav, that makes a lot of sense. They got one right, one wrong. According to Shmuel, they got 100. They got an A+. What do you mean tameh? Everything they do is going to be tameh. So Bisham le Rav hainuduch siv tameh. El Shmuel, am I tameh? According to Rav, it makes a lot of sense that he gets upset and that he declares everything these Kohanim deal with to be tameh. But according to Shmuel, what's the tumah? So answer the Gemara, atzmui kametama. No, he's saying they're so wonderful, they got everything right. Do you think anything these guys are going to bring is tameh? He's not saying that. He's saying it bitmiha. He's not saying it as a statement of fact that anything these guys are going to bring is tameh. He's saying that these guys aren't capable of dealing with tumah. I v'ha v'chein kol masi yadeyim k'siv. But the words v'chein kol masi yadeyim don't sound like it means that it's a bitmiha. As Rashi points out in the second wide line, v'chein lav tmiha mashma. The word v'chein is a word that normally implies certitude, meaning that we are certain that this is the case. Not as bitmiha, what? So that word, that tips us off, that it doesn't sound like it's a pasuk that's being said bitmiha. It sounds like he's actually declaring something tameh. But if they just got 100 on the b'china, why should he declare anything tameh? So Amar Zutra v'item Ravashi, mitoch shekilkulas ma'aseyem, malaleyem akosav ki'ilu hikrivu b'tumah. Eino chinami, there was no tumah, but because they didn't do, they were mekalkul ma'aseyem, later on, he Chagai was having a nevuah, that later on in the Bayit Sheni, they were going to do all sorts of different averos, so he treats their avoda ki'ilu it's b'tumah. Since they were doing, he knew that they were going to do a variety of different averos. Not that there was any actual tumah problem. It's that even the averos weren't tameh related averos. The averos are other averos, but because they do averos, it's ki'ilu their hakravas all betumah. So Rashi understands that again, like that it was a nevuah of la'achar zman, that they hadn't done anything wrong yet. All they did was pass the bechina. They did great. So, but it's about a nevuah la'achar zman that they're going to be mekalkel ma'aseim. The Radak in Chagai says that Chagai was being mochiach that they were lazy in coming back for the binyan abayis when it came time to build the second Beis Hamikdash. Not so many people came back. People weren't so interested in returning to help build the second Beis Hamikdash. In the 70 years of Galus, people had found comfortable lives and weren't only people who had nothing to live for in Galus came back to build the second base. It was one of the great black eyes in the history of Klal Yisrael, is that we had the opportunity and we didn't really run for it. We didn't really take full advantage of the opportunity to build the second base. So Chagai was giving it to them over the head. What are you guys doing? Why are you being so masatzel? Why are you so lazy to come back to come build the second base of Mikdash? So when he's saying that it's going to be that's tamehu lefanai because they're being makrib b'mizbeach below bayis. And the Nachoshish for the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be interested in building the second base of Mikdash as quickly as they possibly can. Now in the Masifta over here, he quotes a sefer Vavei HaAmudim, who asks the Kasha, what do averus have to do with tumah though? Meaning they'll do other averus. How does that make their avoda ki'ilu it's betumah? It means they did averus. Okay, they're bad guys, but they got a betara, or their avodas were still betara. What does that have to do with tumah? So he says, based on the Gemara later on, the Gemara says that pigul is metameh yaseyadayim because of chashadei kohuna. That because of chashadei kohuna, because there are kohanim that are up to no good, so they declared a din derabanan that pigul makes your hands tameh. So Rashi explains that kohan. What does it mean they were up to no good? They were kohanim that would purposely make karbanos pigul. They'd be mefagel karbanos. So in order to get back at those kohanim, the Chum said, in order to discourage those Kohanim from being mefagel karbanos, they say, you know what? You touch that pigle, now it's going to be metame your hands. You're going to become tame. So Tosav there asked the Kasha, if they're not worried about being mefagel karbanos, if they're willing to take a carbon and make it pigle, they're willing to have machshavos of chutz lezmano and destroy the carbon, so they're going to be so worried about their hands becoming tame. Why is that going to bother them so much? So Tosav says that even for Rishayim, tumah, for whatever reason, it's hard to explain the psychology of the Avarian. You know, why it is that he's worried about certain averos and not about other averos. You have that story in the Gemara in Yuma, right? Where the Kohen that was stabbed, and the father said, the father of the guy that was stabbed that was dying before, quick, get the knife out, we got to get the tumah out of the Beis HaMikdash, instead of worrying about his own child, the death of his own child right there in the Beis HaMikdash. It's hard to understand what people are worried about, what they're not. Tosa says, yeah, the Kohanim were worried about tumah, they weren't worried about pigle, but tumah bothered them. So what does that have to do with us? So he points out, this Vavei Amudim said, or this Pe'er Halacha suggests that Yesh Letaretz, that's why the Navi was anish the Kohanim, that everything they're going to bring is Tameh. So you guys are going to do all sorts of bad things, you're going to do all sorts of Averos. The greatest onish for the Kohanim is that to tell them that their Avod is Tameh. There are people that take great pride in their Kohuna and their ability to stay Tar, to have that extra Kedusha and Tahara that they have. So when they do Averos, that's the greatest punishment, to tell them that they don't have that ability to have that Tahara anymore. But I saw also in the he discusses in the Pnini Alecha section of the Masifta, he quotes a Medrash. The Medrash tells us that in Shmos Rabbah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a great kavod for Aaron HaKohen. He'll be sho kimalachei hashareis. He dressed him up like a malach. Pasuk says kimalach Hashem tzvakos hu. So mikan omru kol kohen shu ochel betruma ve'inu ben Torah eino kohen la'asud lavo. That any kohen, says the Medrash, that eats truma but is not a ben Torah is not going to be a kohen la'asud lavo. La'asud lavo, he's going to be nimas mi gimel devarim. He's going to be nimas from three important things: from kohuna, from the mikdash, from levia. But if he's a ben Torah, then he's kimalach Hashem Tzavakos. So the Sefer Big Day Aaron says, why? Why is it that if a Kohen is not a Ben Torah, eats Truma, why is it that that's a problem? Meaning a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, whether he tells Lashon Hara, so he does whatever other. But he's a Kohen. As long as he's Tar, he's allowed to eat, as long as he's Tar and the Truma's Tar, a Kohen's allowed to eat Truma, not only is he allowed to, it's a mitzvah, it's a wonderful thing. So why is it that if he's an Eino Ben Torah, all of a sudden we say that there's something wrong with him eating Truma? So he says, based on our sugya, based on our Gemara, Vayan Chagev Yomer Keina Mazev, Chena Goyezel Lefanenu Mashem, Vechein Kol Masa Yodeh, Mashay Akrivu Sham Tamehu. So according to, if these Kohanim, according to Shmuel, were Bekiyim and Dine Tuma, so why does he declare everything they say Tamei? So what does our Gemara say? Because Kilkulas Maaseyim, we make it Ki'ilu, they were Tamei, even though they never were Nichshal in any issue relating to Tuma. So he says, based on that, we understand the Medrash very well, that Amei Ha'aretz, that Maaseyim Kulkalim, that do all sorts of bad things, since they don't know, they're not careful from other Isurim, their Maaseyim Kulkalim, the Torah considers it as if everything they do is Bituma. That's just exactly what our Gemara says, that we consider it as if everything they do is betuma. What also emerges, something interesting, the Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayis, in the third parak of Parah, the Rambam writes that Ein Hevdel, there's no difference between a person that never became Tameh to a mace and a person who became Tameh to a mace and then went through the process of Hazah, Shlishi Yushvi with the Paraduma and got out of the Tumas mace, became Tahar. But then the Rambam says, not only is there no difference, but it could be that the guy who went through the process of Tahara after becoming Tamei Meis is on a higher level of Tahara than a more pure level of Tahara than a person who never became Tamei in the first place. That's how the Rambam says. So Rav Yosef Engel says, why? Where does that come from? Where does this idea come from? That a guy is better off becoming Tamei and then being Metayer himself from the Tuma rather than never becoming Tamei in the first place. That creates a higher level of Tahara. So Rav Yosef Engel says, he gets it from our sugya, that it's our Gemara directly relates Tuma to Averos. For whatever reason, we compare Mekulkal B'Maaseyim to Tuma. So whatever we find by Averos, we're going to find a parallel in Dine Tuma. So what do we find by Averos? The Gemara at the end of Yuma tells us, B'makam Shebalei Tshuva Omdim, Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yichalim La'amod. That Balei Tshuva are on a higher level than Tzadikim Gemurim. Someone who fell and then did Tshuva from that Avera is on a higher level than someone who never did an Avera in the first place. So it stands to reason, if we take our Gemara's equation, that whatever we apply by Mekulkal, we apply that to Dine Tuma as well, so the same would be true for Tuma, that someone who became Tame and then was Mitar himself from the Tuma is on a higher level than someone who was never Mitame himself in the first place. And he says, based on that, we understand very well what the Mishnais tell us in Para when it comes to the Kohen who would have to do the Avoda. So what do we what would we do? The Kohen who, I'm not saying we would have to do the Avoda, the Kohen that was Soref the Para, the Tzdukim would say that Marave Shemesh Haisenasis, that you had to wait till Harav Shemesh to allow Kohen to do the Sreifas HaParos. What would we do? We'd be Metamei a Kohen, and then have him go through the Tara process, and before Harav Shemesh, we'd have him do the Shreifa Sapara. We would not wait for the Harav Shemesh. That's a very strange thing. All the malos, all the chumras that we add in to the Tara Sapara, if you ever learn Mishnayos Parah, what they would do, the extent that they would go to make sure that everything was done b'tara, was wild. They would raise children in a secluded environment on a cliff, just so that we could make sure that these children would never be in contact with Tumah by the time they had to go draw the water that they were going to use for the Efer Para. And now we're going to be Metame, the Kohen who's actually doing it. We're going to make him Tame. And when we avoided Tumah at all costs, it says if he has an angle, no, it's a Chumrah within the Dine Tahara. It's a Chumrah within, because what's the most Tahara you can be? Someone who was once Tame and then went through a Tahara process. It's not a Kula, it's a Chumrah. It's a greater level of Tahara. Aye, but the Mishnah says it's only to answer the Tzedukim. He says, no. Once we're Metamei him, the fact that we don't wait for Arav Shemesh, that's just to answer the Tzedukim. But if the fact that we're Metamei him, that's a Maila in Tahara. That's a Chumrah in the world of Tahara that we're Metamei him in the first place. Because you are more Tahar when you became Tamei and went through the process than if you never became Tamei in the first place. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel's Ha'ara from this Sugya. I thought it was a fascinating concept, this idea that being cleansed of the tumah is a greater level of tara than never having the tara in the first place. Rav Aaron Kahn once gave a Musar Shmuz in YU where he was talking about the sugya of l'sisa. We'll get to that a little later in the Masechta. The Gemara talks about whether you could soak the grains that you're going to use to make matzah out of. Someone told me that in the New York Times last week, they had a picture of one of the Satmar Rebbe's looking over his wheat fields where they have this special chumrah that they dafka have wheat that grows in a place where there's no rain for like months or something before it's cut, that they shouldn't come in contact with any water. The Gemara is a discussion. Do you do lisisa on the grains? So there's one shita that mitzvah lilsos. There's a mitzvah to soak the grain. So what's soaking the grain is going to do? It's going to increase your chance of chimutz, right? So one sheet of Rav Aaron Kahn gave the shmuz that there's even such a havamina, even such an idea. Draw out that yetzer hara so that you could be vigilant about it, so that you can bring it out on the table. And once it's out on the table, then deal with it, rather than just avoiding it entirely. Exactly what that means in terms of musr is a shmuz for a different time. But this idea that sometimes to have the problem and then deal with the problem creates a greater sense of being cleansed of the problem than never having the problem in the first place. Okay, Gufa. Rav Tani Mashki Beis Mitbechaya, V'Levi Tani Mashki Bei Midbechaya. So we go back to discuss. Yossi Ben Yoezer said in the Braisa yesterday that the liquids of the Beis HaMikdash are Tahar. Which liquids of the Beis HaMikdash? So Machlokes, Rav and Levi. Rav says the liquids of the slaughtering area of the Beis HaMikdash. Levi says, no, the liquids of the Mizbeach, the Shemen and the Yayin, the liquids of the Mizbeach as well. So the Levi, Hanichi, Svirle Kishmuel. So remember, we had a Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel yesterday, whether Yossi Ben Yoezer meant to preclude these liquids from Tumah entirely, or just that they can't be Metame other things. When he says that they're Tahar, what does he mean they're Tahar? Does it mean that they can't become Tame? Or does it mean, no, they can become Tame, they just can't be Metame other things? So now we're going to put the two Machlokesim together. So we have this Machlokes, Rav and Levi over here. Which liquids did this Edus of Yossi Ben Yoezer apply to? Which liquids are Tahar? And we had the Machlokes yesterday, what it means that liquids are Tahar. That they are Tahar themselves, or simply just, or no, they're Tame, they just can't be Metame other things. So Levi, according to Levi, who holds that the Tara of the liquids applies to Shemen and Yai and everything by the Mizbeach. So Isvir like Shmuel Damer Dachin min the Tami Tumas Achayim Rav Tumas Atzmin Yesh Lahen. If he holds like Shmuel, that when we say that it's Tahar, it just means that it can't be Metame other things, but they themselves can be Tame. So Mishkach So Denagi Kula Barishon. So it fits in very well that that everything touched a Rishon. According to Levi, that oil and wine are also precluded from Tumah. So as long as he goes like Shmuel, that they can become Tame themselves, just can't be Metame other things. So we can explain the Kohanim were correct in telling Chagai that the list of items and what was on that list of items. Oil is on the list of it, is itself Tameh, and the Kohanim were correct about that in telling Chagai, yes, the oil can become Tameh. Why? Because they all touched a Rishon, and therefore they can become Tameh. They just can't be mitame something else, but they can become tame. Eli savrele kerav, but if he holds like Rav, damadach mamish, holds that mamish means that's tahar, it's mamish tahar, can't even become tame. Seichim shkachsus. Then what are the kohanim telling Chagai? So says Gemara, karcha kishmul svirle. So yeah, you have to say that he's assuming like Shmuel and not assuming like Rav. If you're going to say like Levi that the tahara of the liquids of the Beis Hamikdash include oil and wine, then the only way to understand the conversation with Chagai and the Kohanim is by assuming like Shmuel that when we say that they're tar, it means they just can't be metame other things, but they themselves can become tame. Ul Shmuel, and if you say like Shmuel, Hanichi Savala Karav, Shmuel's opinion that the Kohanim were correct in saying that the liquid cannot become a chamishi lutoma, right? So if you say like Rav, the Tani Mashki Beis Mitbechaya, Av Mashki Beis Mitbechaya, Achri Ninami Mitamu, so if you say like, it works out very well, if you assume like Rav in the Machlokas about which liquids we're talking about, that Rav holds the only special Tara we have is for the blood of the, and the water of the Beis HaShchita, but the wine and the oil, that certainly has full-fledged tuma. So then you understand the conversation between Chagai and the Kohanim, because the Kohanim said, yeah, Revi Yehuda lo Avid Chamishi. You can't have a Chamishi, but Hashlishi Avid Revi. But with these liquids that you're asking about, wine and oil, yeah, that you could have a Revi Lutoma. You just can't have a Chamishi Lutoma. So that works really well if you assume, like Rav, that the whole special Tahara that we have in the Beis HaMikdash doesn't apply to wine and oil. It only applies to blood and water. So that when the Kohanim were asked about wine and oil, they said, yeah, you could have a Revi Lutoma. Eli Savrele Kalevi, Ditani Mashkibe Midbechaya, Mayir Yerevi, Delovit Chamishi, Afilu Sheni Shlishi Nami Lo Avdi. But according to Levi, that even wine and oil has this special Tahara that Yossi Ben Yozer Shreda was talking about. That even wine and oil is Tahar. So then why did the Kohanim say, yeah, there's no Chamishi Lutuma? Forget about Chamishi. There's no Sheni, there's no Shlishi. They can't be Tamei. So well, why does he have to, the implication of the conversation is that there would be a Revi, there could be up until a Revi with the wine and the oil. So you have to say, Al Karcha Karav Svirale. So you have to say that Shmuel Shita has to line up with Rav's understanding of which liquids we're talking about. Meaning, the Shmuel Shita about whether the Kohanim were right, which is against Rav, Shmuel has to be understanding like Rav in his machlokas with Levi. Rav's machlokas with Levi about which liquids it applies to, so Shmuel has to be siding with Rav in that machlokas. So Tani Kavase Rav, Tani Kavase Levi. The Gemara brings two braises, one to support Levi, one to support Rav, about which liquids this applies to. Tani Kavase de Levi, the braise that supports Levi is as follows. Hadam v'hayayin v'hashemen v'hamayim mashki be midbechaya shenitmu b'fnim v'otziyam l'chutz tahorin. The braise tells us, if you have blood, water, any of the mashkim from the Mizbeach that became Tameh in the Beis HaMikdash and then were brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they remain Tahar. Because remember, in the Beis HaMikdash, they can't become Tameh. So what if they come in contact with Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, so nothing happens to them, right? Then you bring them outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Do you now say, well, that Tumah was lying dormant in it, inside of it the whole time, but it was waiting to come out. Now that you brought it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Tumah expresses itself, and now it's Tameh? So the Bryce says, V'otzion l'chutz Tahar. No, it remains Tahar. It's Ki'ilu, it never came in contact with Tumah. Nitmu b'chutz v'chnisim b'fnim, Tameh. And what if it was the reverse? It became Tameh outside of the Beis HaMikdash, where it can become Tameh, and then you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, it remains Tameh, even though now it's in the Beis HaMikdash. But bottom line is, why is this a Raya? Because on the list are Dam, Yayin, Shemen, Mayim, all of the liquids. And he's assuming the din that there's no tuma in the Beis HaMikdash applies to all of these liquids. The tuma of the bay mitbechaya and the tuma of the bay midbechaya. So this is a very good raya to Levi, that this applies to all of the different liquids. So frakli gemara eini v'amr Rabbi Shua ben Levi mashki bay mitbechaya lo amr dachan ela b'mekoman ma'ilav l'mutei nitmu b'fnim v'tzion l'chutz. On the detailed halacha that this braisa mentioned, the gemara says, is it really true that if something becomes tamei in the Beis HaMikdash and then you bring it outside, that it stays tahar? that just like it can't contract tumma in the Beis Hamikdash, even if you subsequently bring it out, it stays tar. But didn't we learn that when we say that it's tar, it's only bimakoman? And what does that mean? Only bimakoman. It means that once you remove it, now it's going to be tame. So says Mara, no, that's not what it means. Lo lemute nitmu b'chutz v'chnisim b'fnim. It doesn't mean once you remove it, it's going to be tame. It means that if it became tame outside and then you brought it in, that it's going to still be tame. Iva bimakoman kamar, but it said bimakoman. It said only in its place. Safi kamar lo amru dachan ella shenitmu bimakoman. That we, when it comes to this halacha, that the liquids of the Beis Hamikdash don't become tame, we look at where it came in contact with tuma. If it came in contact with tuma in the Beis Hamikdash, there is no tuma. If it came in contact with tuma outside of the Beis Hamikdash, then there is tuma, and that's it. We don't care what happens to it subsequently. If you bring it from one place to another afterwards, we look at where it contracted the tuma in the first place. There is an interesting suffix in the Mishnah Lamelech in Tumas Ochlin. The Mishnah Lamelech says we know there is a halacha that food pachos mikabetza doesn't have tumas ochlin. Machlokes Rashi tells us whether it means it can't be mitame other things or it can't be tame itself. But let's assume food less than a kabetza can't have tumas. Let's say you have a half a kibbutz size of bread and comes in contact with the sheretz. Then another half a kibbutz size of bread comes in contact with the sheretz, and then you put them together. So now does it have tumas ochlin? It's now a kibbutz, but it touched when at the time that it touched tuma, it was not the proper shear. So it does become tuma or not? That's the suffix of the Mishnah Lamelech, whether we combine the shear to make a kibbutz. So the Sholom Eshiv brings a raya from this brisa that mashkin that becomes tuma bifnim and then you bring it outside is tahar, and we look at where the original tuma was contracted. So even though later on it was put into a situation where the tuma should be there by being brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we say, no, the Tumah originally happened. We look at that original moment of Tumah. The Tumah originally happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Beis HaMikdash, it can't become Tameh, so it's good. So he says, so the same thing over here, maybe. You could say the same thing, that at the time that it contracted the Tumah, it was Pachos Mikabetza. So there's no Tumah. I don't care what you do with it afterwards. At the time that it came in contact with the Tumah, it wasn't able to become tame. So that's what the Sholem Eshiv originally suggests. But then he says, nah, it's probably not an exact comparison that between the two cases. He says the suffix of the Mishnah Melech, there's no chisaron ba'atzmuso. There's a chisaron in the shear. I mean, by the case of pachos mikabetza, the food is food. I mean, there's nothing preventing it from becoming tame other than it's just not enough of it. And originally, if it would have had the proper shear, it would have become tame. It would have become tame in that context. So when you are mashlim that shear, itaka will become tame. As opposed to in the mikdash, there simply is no gezeras tuma. It doesn't have the ability to be metame other things. So it could be that tumah can't be created by transferring it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, that's an interesting suffix of the Mishnah Melech that he connects to this sugya. So that was the Brice that supports Levi. Now Tanya Kavasei Rav. We have a Brice that supports Rav. Again, what did Rav say? That the only liquids that Yossi ben Yosef is said to set our tahar are the liquids of the Bei Mitbechaya, the blood, the water, but not the shem and the yayin that go on the Mizbeach. So the Tanya Kavasei Rav is as follows. Hadam va'amayim mashki beis mitbechaya shenitmu bein bekelim bein bekarka tahorin. He talks about those special liquids that we say are tahar. And what does it list? Dam and mayim. And that's it. So what does it say? Those liquids, if they become tameh, bein bekelim, bein bekarka, doesn't matter if they become tameh in kelim while they're in kelim or while they're in the karka, they're tahar. Rabbi Shimon Omer bekelim tameh in bekarka tahorim. Rabbi Shimon is l'shitaso, who says that tumas mashkin is da'oraisa, even to be metameh acherim. That was in the brisa on the top of Tezayinam and Aleph. So Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso says that bekelim they're going to be tameh, bekarka it's going to be tahar though. When you have water in the karka, water gathered together in the ground, like a mikvah, so that's going to be tahar. So I'm Rav Papa. So that was the brice that supports Rav. How does it support Rav? It only mentions water and blood as liquids that are tahar. It doesn't mention wine and oil. So that's perfectly like Rav. So I'm Rav Papa. Even if generally you hold that the tumas mashkin is din daraisa, but the mashke beis mitbechaya, the fact that that it doesn't become tameh, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. Amar le Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Nasan le Rav Papa, wait a second, could that possibly be a halacha l'moshe misinai? But the Gemara is going to have two kashas in that. Vela hadam Rab Lazar ein tumah lemashkin kalikur teida shari hey Yosi ben Yosi shreid al mashkin basement b'chay dachan vihilchsa gemira lemigamrin mina. So the Gemara says, what's the raya that there's no tumas mashkin kalikur because Yosi ben Yosi shreid said that mashkin basement b'chaya is tahar. Now if there was a din dal raisa that mashkin become tameh, then why wouldn't they be tameh in the basement b'chaya also? No, it must be that the whole din of tumas mashkin is a din derabanan, and that din derabanan doesn't apply in the mikdash like every other din derabanan doesn't apply in the mikdash. So that's the so says Gemara. But wait a second, if the whole idea that mashkim in the base of mikdash are tahar is a special halacha l'moshe v'sinai, then how does that prove anything? Just because they're tahar in the mikdash, how does that prove that outside of the mikdash the tumah is only the Rabbanan? That shouldn't prove anything. Outside of the Mikdash, the Tumah might be Daraisa. In the Mikdash, why are they Tahar? It doesn't have to be a logic. Halach L'moshe V'sinai. So obviously, it's not Halach L'moshe V'sinai. By making this whole equation, it must not be. V'yilchsa G'mirla, Migarmir Mina. If it were Halach L'moshe V'sinai, I wouldn't be able to learn anything from it. Amalei Rav Yehuda Rav Ashi, V'Rabbi Shimon Damar Tumas Mashkin Daraisa. D'Tanya Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon Amram, L'Kelim Tarim L'Ochlin Tmein. V'Achlacham Rav Shimon, B'Kelim Tmein, B'Karka Tarin. Now, Rav Shimon holds Tumas Mashkin in general outside of the base of Migdash is Daraisa. And yet over here he says, B'Kelim Tmein, B'Karka Tarin. V'Hilchasahi, Mali B'Kelim, Mali B'Karka. If it's Halach L'Moshe V'Sinai, that liquids in the Beis HaMikdash are Tahar, then what difference should it make if it's in Kelim or in Karka? Why does he say that only if it's in the Karka it's Tahar? Even in Kelim it should be Tahar. It's Halach L'Moshe V'Sinai, so it should be Tahar wherever you want it to be. So Kasha, so that's why we reject Rav Papa. Rav Papa's suggestion that the idea of Mashki Beit Mit Bechaya is Halach L'Moshe V'Sinai is proven wrong on two accounts. Amar Rav Papa, Hada Amrit Bekarka Tahorin. That which we said that these liquids, if you have water in the ground, according to Rabbi Shimon, is going to be tahar. Lo shanu el mayim, aval dam lo. That's only true about water, but it's not true about blood. Umayim nami lo amar el davi revius, dechazi lahatpil be machtim v'tzinoros. And even with mayim, it's only if it's a revius of water, where you could be matpil, because a revius of water gathered together in the ground could be used as a kosher mikveh. We're used to thinking a mikveh needs to be 40 sa'. It does need to be 40 sa'. To be tovel a person. Because a person needs 40 sa to fit his whole body. 40 sa is the size of an amma by an amma, 3 amos tall. But to be matbil, machten vitzinoros, little needles or something, all you need is a revius of mayim to have the water go all around the needle. Avalavi revius to mayim. But if it's less than a revius, then it's not a mikveh. And if it's not a mikveh, then the water's tameh. The only way the water that's gathered in the ground is going to avoid tumah in the mikdash, according to Rabbi Shimon, who thinks tumas mashkin is daraisa, is if that water takes on the status of a mikveh. So how does it avoid the status of a mikveh? The only way it could avoid the status of a mikveh is if it's less than a revius. Otherwise, any water gathered in the ground takes on the status of a mikveh. Frek Tosos, wait a second, is that true? If I take water in a bucket and I pour it into the ground, that's a mikveh? Why do people have such a hard time building mikvahs then? It's so easy. All you need to, whatever happened to mayim shuvin? Isn't mayim shuvin pasul? Any time you take water in a kli and you draw it in a kli, doesn't that pasul a mikveh? So Tosos says, according to the Machlokas and Balei Tosos, according to the Ri, Tosos says, no, mayim shuvin is a psul drabanan. It's not a psul daraisa. And the Rai is from here, that any liquid gathered in the ground, the Gemara makes no mention of shuvin. Any liquid gathered in the ground all of a sudden becomes a kasher mikvah on a daraisa level. It's because mayim shuvin is only psul midrabanan. So that's a very interesting debate that Balei Tosafot have over here, whether it's psul daraisa or psul drabanan with significant nafkaminas lahalacha. But we got to get moving over here. So Amar Mar, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lekol Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda said, so remember, on all the way back on Tezayin Amar Alf, the Braisa, so we're talking about the Tumas Mashkin. So Rabbi Yehuda said that Lekol Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says Tumas Mashkin is Tameh not only in its own right, but it could be metame other things. It could be metame kelim. It could be metame ochel. We're not mechali between kelim and ochel. It sounded like so. The member discover Rabbi Yehuda tumas mashkin tami tumas kelim daraisa. Wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda saying that mashkin can become tami enough on a daraisa level to be metame kelim even. Vatna, and we have a mission that seems to say otherwise. Any kli that has an inside and an outside of the kli, nitma tocha nitma gabo. If you're metame the inside of the kli, the outside becomes tame as well. But nitma gabo lo nitma tocha. If you're metame the outside of the kli, the inside remains tahar. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, that's if the way it became tame was by touching a tame liquid. But if it became tame from touching a sheret, Eretz, then the whole kli becomes tummy inside and out. V'isal kadai tumas mashkin tummy kelim daraisa mali nidma machmas mashkin mali nidma machmas sheretz. But if Rabbi Yehuda holds that mashkin could be mitami kelim even on a daraisa level, what difference does it make if a kli touches a mashke or a sheretz? It should be tummy through and through. Why does he say if it touches the mashke, it's not so tummy? It's only tummy on the outside, not on the inside. What do you mean? You hold that tumas mashkin is daraisa? It should be up to mitami midaraisa. So Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel chazav Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda must have changed his mind. It doesn't. It's inconsistent. Ravina Amar Liol. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda didn't change his mind, and it depends what kind of mashkin we're talking about. If the mashkin became tameh from a sheretz, so then we're going to be more machmir than mashkin that became tameh from stam yadayim, which is clearly only a tumah drabban. If my yadayim touch a mashkin, the fact that that mashkin becomes tameh, that's only drabban. So that we're going to be more meichel with. See, ihach yadatani b'medavar murim shenitum machmas mashkin lifluk v'lisnu b'didev b'medavar murim b'mashkin abal machmas yadayim. If that chiluk were true, though, then instead of Rabbi Yehuda saying, "Oh, if the mashkin touched the kli, then only the outside of the kli is going to become tummy," but if what did he say? A sheretz touches the kli, then it's tummy through and through. You know what he should have said? But if a mashke that touched the sheretz touches the kli, it's going to be tummy through and through. Elamai must be Rabbi Yehuda's mashkin across the board cannot be metame kli through and through. Mashkin don't have the ability to be metame kelim. Elamai chavarta kedushan meikara chazuba Rabbi Yehuda. So we have to go back with our original assumption. Rabbi Yehuda must have changed his mind. Originally he thought mashkin are able to be metame kelim even on a daraisa level, but he simply changed his mind. He holds liquids can only be metame kelim midirabbanan.